This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. Once again, you're listening to Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Happy weekend, y'all.
We're on 106.3 WORD here in town, 101.5 in Anderson.
Going south.
Going
yes.
south, yeah. And anywhere you want to go on your smartphone or other device with the radio.com app worldwide. Upstate
That's
Outdoors.
Right.
That's right. So, busy day today. I've been running back and forth between Cabela's doing Crappy Madness.
Because it's Crappy Madness.
Doing Woodruff Road Madness today. But we got a great show for you nonetheless. A caffeinated show, I might add. We're going to start off with Upstate Outdoors blog, like we always do, talking about the garlic chicken, which I'm kind of hungry, but this is a catfish bait.
Ew.
Ew. Well, it's better than some catfish baits.
Like stink bait.
Yeah. Well,
double ew.
Sort of, not sort of.
Okay.
It's catfish bait. And then actually had several listeners had emailed us, the show, at upstateoutdoors@1063word.radio.com and told about the there's a bill that's been introduced to a Senate committee that will be removing the exemption as provided by DNR under the animal cruelty law for hunting dogs, basically.
Yes.
That would make it if you're hunting your dogs, you know, whatever, rabbit hunting or quail hunting or whatever, and your dog is injured, that you could become liable and prosecuted under the animal cruelty law. And then it also kind of, I mean, we actually don't really know where it's going.
It's very vague.
It's kind of vague, and it's kind of an affront to hunters. So we've got State Senator Tom Corbin from up around the northern part of Greenville and Spartanburg counties. We're going to talk to Senator Corbin and get his take on that. It's gone to a committee, but I think it's a sister committee. Senator Corbin's in the Fish, Game, and Forestry, and this one's in like the DNR or whatever they call that.
Something.
I never can get
he
the
can
committee.
Tell us,
yeah,
he
so
can we'll, tell us where
we'll
it's
talk
at.
To Senator Corbin about that, and there's been some other things going on down in Columbia, so we'll talk with him. Probably round out the hour with Senator Tom Corbin. Anytime you can get your voice down in Columbia, like to
it's keep, always a good thing.
Always a good thing to keep them on there and pick their brain, see what's going on. And so during the second hour of the show, Boat Girl's going to cook us. Is it Taco Saturday?
It's Taco Saturday.
Yeah.
My husband wanted me to make some spotted bass tacos, so we're doing our part.
That was kind of a joke. But anyway, that's fine.
I got a good recipe for them.
Okay.
And they're healthy, too.
So fish tacos, and if you want to insert spotted bass or
spotted bass,
whatever you want,
or whatever you're catching right now.
I'll tell you the story about that.
Don't eat the largemouth though. Y'all turn them back.
With all of the deluge that we've had this past week, started searching around and I found on outdoorlife.com how to catch fish in muddy water, because Lord knows we're gonna have plenty of that to go around
at least for another week or so, I would think. I mean, obviously the rain stopped, but it's gonna start back next week. And I just, man, it's, woo.
We need to go down to Florida.
We do.
Speaking of which, we're going to be talking to the bass chaplain, Chris Wells.
He's in Florida.
He is in Florida down there for the kickoff tournament of the Bassmaster Elite Series. They're down in Palatka, Florida.
Palatka. St. John's. Palatka, Florida.
Palatka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll talk to the bass chaplain and find out what's going on down there. And then we'll wrap up today's show with our calendar of events. Two more Crappy Madness seminars
to do. And then we're going to kick you out the door to do another seminar.
And then we will end today's show with our parting shot about a three-year-old North Carolina boy who was lost in the woods and found a friend.
Oh.
So there you go. So going back to the story about the spotted bass tacos.
Yes.
I actually got a little bit of break in between, you know, the weather this past week. I think it was, about Wednesday. And
It was still raining, but it wasn't raining bad.
Yeah. It looked sprinkling rain, you know, what would have been nothing compared to what we got on, you know, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
But so I was out in finally Lake Greenwood's. I thought had cleared up a little bit, and I had a couple of good fishing reports. So I was going to go out and do a little bit of long line trolling and see if I couldn't come up with some crappie to go along with the crappie madness to talk about. And
it was bass madness.
It was bass and striper madness because, man, I hate to say this, and that pattern is gone, but I pulled into one particular creek. And, man, it was just – I don't think I've ever caught so many bass. I mean, and they were in their schooling. I mean, they weren't schooling. Schooling to me means, you know, hitting on top water.
Right.
And you see them hitting on top water every so often.
They were stacked up, though.
They were stacked up in there, but they were chasing bait fish around. And then here comes PG trolling, you know, 2-inch Bobby Garland Strollar jigs with the big waggy tail.
Yeah.
And tipping them with minnows. You know,
it's
because
like
it's
buffet.
Muddy water. And, man, they were I got sick. I think I caught in just two passes.
You mark that spot?
I did. Well, I mean,
good. I'm going to go back to
it.
I'm going to go back to later cast for it.
I didn't have to. But, man, it was like spotted bass after spot. And there were a lot of largemouth in there, too.
Yeah.
And
how many spots did you catch in relation to the largemouth?
Oh, 3-1.
Okay.
So, I hate to say that about Greenwood.
That's why we're going to keep and eat.
And I did.
Tacos.
I kept three of them enough for fish tacos.
Yes.
And you know, and I say that, and a lot of people are like, oh, man, you should be keeping bass. But those spots, wherever they are.
Do your part,
unless
y'all.
They're what Boat Girl would call kicker fish, which is probably four.
A money fish. I mean, obviously, we don't want to make tacos out of a fish that could bring somebody a paycheck on Saturday.
If it's 12, well, maybe not 12, if it's 14 inches up to, I don't know, 2.5 pounds, she's going, I'm going to keep some of them. I may not keep all of them because I didn't, and there's still a limit on them.
Don't worry, tournament guys. We won't keep your big ones. We'll turn them back.
We're just doing that. Now, I do keep all the white perch. But
yes, that's different, though.
Well, anyway, so let's go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some catfish bait. This is sort of an interesting it's an article that I wrote based on a conversation I had. Many of you remember my buddy Dieter Mailhorn,
yes,
who has been a co-host on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's involved in the story too. So I'll set it up that way. So when we come back, we can jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog and give you a recipe for catfish bait using the garlic chicken.
Well, y'all stay with us. We got a great show today right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, for the Upstate Outdoors blog, a lot of you might think, wait a minute, he's doing the Roadkill Cafe because he's talking about try the garlic chicken. But anytime we do a recipe and it's for a fish bait, it's probably not going to be the Roadkill Cafe.
No, we are not eating bait unless it's leftover shrimp.
Or sushi.
And we will eat it.
Recipe for sushi? We've never done one.
We've never done one. I'm not sure I know enough about making sushi to encourage others to do it.
Well, if you're a catfishman, you'll be interested in this one. This is the Upstate Outdoors blog. Try the garlic chicken to catch catfish. Now, catfishermen are well known for searching far and wide for that, quote, magic catfish bait to tempt catfish into biting a hook. The list includes all manner of natural bait fish, right?
Yes, probably cut bait.
Cut bait, white perch is a big one. Other aquatic substances like mussels and clams and
stuff,
and even a few concoctions straight from the kitchen or maybe the garbage can. Now, Captain Mac Byram, who's a retired fishing guide and hails from North Carolina's Lake Norman, and who, I don't know coincidentally or not, looks a lot like Captain Ahab, right?
Okay.
You know, from Moby Dick.
Oh, I'm sitting here looking at you going,
It's a literary reference.
Okay.
But he's catfished with just about every species of bait fish that'll stay on the hook, and despite all his concern about finding bait fish, he reserves most of his hook space for a special bait that didn't even come from the water. The old catter has an interesting tale about how he was introduced to the novel catfish bait. Mac Byram says, a friend of mine, Dieter Melhorn, who, as we mentioned earlier, we all know Dieter. Dieter Sizzle.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's a professional TV cameraman and was doing some video work for ESPN down in Alabama. Now, on this occasion, he was filming an interview with an 87-year-old Hall of Fame fisherman. The guy had won big tournaments for striper, crappie, bass, you name it, including catfish. Now, when the interview was over, Dieter asked him what his favorite fish was, and a Hall of Famer, without batting an eye, said it was the Arkansas blue catfish. Well, that got Dieter's attention because he's a big catfishman, too, and he explained his choice was because you never know what you're going to get when you put your line out, whether you're going to get one that's 5 pounds or 105 pounds. So since Dieter, like I said, is a big catfisherman, he asked the old gentleman what his favorite bait was. And the old guy says, well, I use a lot of the same, you know, natural baits, white perch and gizzard shad and everything that everybody else uses, but I've had good success with chicken breast marinated in garlic powder.
Not livers.
Yeah, not liver. Now, surprised by the tale, Byram, when he heard this from his buddy, Dieter Melhorn, tried the old angler's secret and was sold. The recipe for garlic chicken was different than any he'd ever seen. Catfishmen are no strangers to unusual concoctions, but catfish recipes typically border on rancid, not something that makes the angler hungry for lunch.
Like stink bait.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Byram claims the catfishing version of garlic chicken can be prepared ahead of time. He said you start with bone in or bone out, but you got to take the bone out to do this. So if you got bone in chicken, you got to take the bone out because you don't want that flopping around.
Right.
He said in the summertime, I use a cut that you could lay a 50-cent piece on, but in the wintertime, when their metabolisms are a little bit slower, I go down to the size of a quarter.
Like a nugget.
Yeah. Yeah, chicken nugget. Garlic chicken nugget.
Can y'all tell I'm hungry?
Yeah. Now, Byram's reason for that is that a catfish's metabolism, like I said, is much slower in the wintertime than in the summer, so smaller baits are more productive. He suggests cutting the bait first and then sprinkling the garlic powder on just one side. He said that if you use garlic on both sides of the chicken, it'll actually start to bake the chicken through a chemical process.
Really?
And that makes it stringy, and that reduces the blood content of the meat, and that's what you want to leave that scent trail.
Right.
He said, I lightly sprinkle garlic powder on each 25 or 50 cent piece or whatever denomination you want to use, depending on the season. Then put the pieces in a Ziploc bag and seal the bag and squeeze the bait around in a bag, which moves the garlic around. He said after preparing the chicken, he'll leave the bag out on the countertop or whatever for about an hour or two to let the seasoning kind of sink in and work. He said if he's fishing the next day, then he will put it in the refrigerator so it don't rot. And
then it'll be just yicky.
Yeah, yicky. Yeah. Nobody wants yicky bait. The bait can also be stored in the freezer to be thawed at a later date. Now, Byron also warns that if you're going to be handling raw chicken, be sure to wash your hands afterwards and before handling anything that you intend to eat, because there is a risk of salmonella, and that has nothing to do with the fish.
Right.
So there you go, the Upstate Outdoors blog, the garlic chicken. What's your favorite catfish bake?
I would guess cut bait.
Yeah.
Of some sort. Because I don't mind cut bait. I just don't enjoy the stink bait messy stuff.
Yeah, because I got that all over
the boat. Cut bait's no big deal. I don't mind cutting bait at all.
I got that all over the boat last summer.
Yeah, and
you
it
were
smells
not happy
so
about that.
Bad. I mean, it's just the smell. I mean, it was hot the last time we went, and the smell is so bad, and it's like, ew.
That was that Charlie's Blood catfish dip bait.
It's like the consistency of peanut butter. So you get it on one thing, and it just smears all over everything and won't wipe off.
And when you're casting it, it flips off.
It flies into chunks.
And so basically what you're doing is you're chumming the area around you when you – but it works.
I mean, I think the garlic chicken doesn't sound too gross.
Well, your personal best catfish came last year on Santee from White Perch.
Yes.
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
We were fishing with Captain Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you caught about a 40-something pound?
45 and some change.
But you didn't even hook the bait on. You did hold the catfish, though.
I didn't. Paul's pretty picky about his baits and techniques, and he's like, I'm like offering to cut bait on the boat. He's like, no, I got it. You got to do it a certain special way. And apparently he's like a sous chef with the White Perch cutting bait. So I was like, okay, well, you cut it then. I was kind of offering to help.
Throw it out there. I just reel it in.
Yeah, that's exactly how that went.
If you'd have reeled in the other one that he had, your personal best would have eclipsed mine.
Yes, it was about 50 pounds.
Yeah, 50 plus.
Fun day.
Oh, yeah, it's great. So catfish bait. And I also want to remind you, if you be sure to check out all the weekly blogs for Upstate Outdoors, you can go to 1063WRD.radio.com and go down to the very bottom in the little small print where it says blogs, and Upstate Outdoors is the very last one.
Yeah.
You click on those, and far as I know, all of them I've ever done are there.
They're there. And so if we've talked about something, you're like, wait a minute, what was that again?
Yep.
You can just go back and read it.
There you go.
It's awesome.
Well, we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we're going to bring on Senator Tom Corbin. Got some political stuff we're going to be talking about on the radio. So y'all hang tight.
That's right. Right here, 1063-WORD.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors, and our next guest is no stranger to our 106.3 WORD listeners or Upstate Outdoors. We want to welcome back State Senator Tom Corbin.
Hey, Philip, how are you?
I'm doing well, and Tom, I don't know that we've had you on the show since Boat Girl came on as co-host.
I don't think
you
so.
You haven't. No, you haven't, and I've been anxious to get back on because you have a better half now there with you.
Oh, I definitely do. Definitely. True words were never spoken.
He's just making me feel good today, that's all.
I completely understand.
So, Tom, wanted to talk with you. A lot of stuff going on down in Columbia. The Senate session is back in, and you folks are down there, what I like to call making sausage. And you're on a number of different committees in the Senate, and one of which is the Fish, Game, and Forestry Committee.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
And and part of the reason that wanted to get you on, well, actually, we talked about this before Christmas, and then we had kind of an issue come up that I wanted to get your opinion on. It's a bill that was introduced into the Senate by another state senator. I think it was Greg Hembree in Horry County.
Right. Yes, sir. He represents Horry County.
Yeah. And a lot of folks are members or associated with the sportsmansalliance.org. And basically this bill, I don't know that it's a separate bill, but it's an amendment to the bill. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, it was introduced as a bill. It changes the code of law, and I forget the number. Was it 4017?
Now, it's Senate Bill 1042, and basically it's a bill that removes the hunting dog protection in the animal cruelty code. And just wanted to kind of kick that around a little bit with you being our state senator for this area, and just kind of talk about that for a minute.
Okay. Well, obviously, to begin with, you know, I have pets, and I'm sure you do. And then, you know, there's hunting dogs and things like that. And nobody wants to see animals treated cruelly at all, you know, no matter what their purpose for, if they're hunting dogs or just pets or whatever. So that's obvious. We dealt with a cruelty to animal bill last year in the Senate that passed and was signed into law. And so Senator Hembree introduced this some weeks back, and I did read the bill. It's just a very short bill. What it does in a nutshell, I mean, we could walk through all the whereases and four twos, but at the end of the day, it just removes the hunting dog exemption from the animal cruelty laws, which I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't know of any, and I know a lot of hunters that have a lot of dogs, and they are the most well cared for, most humanely treated. I mean, just like a part of the family. So I don't know. I've never heard Senator Hembree talk much about hunting, so I don't know how much of a hunter he is, if a hunter at all. So I don't know why he put the bill in. And sometimes people will be asked by somebody else to put a bill in. So that could be the case.
And that was kind of my thought was, I didn't know what your relationship was with Senator Hembree. And if, and like you say, a lot of times they're trying to get at something else as opposed to maybe what this appears to be, you know, a directive at hunting dogs.
Exactly. You're exactly right there. And a lot of times in doing that, you know, a group, you know, it could be any group. It could be an advocacy group for, you know, humane treatment of animals or whatever that could have approached him and said, hey, you know, would you put this bill in for us? And, you know, a lot of times that'll happen. A lot of times the senator will say, yeah, sure, I'll put it in, which may be the case because it was read across the desk, which is first reading, and then it was assigned to the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, and it hasn't been assigned a hearing. I looked it up the other day, so it's basically just sitting there. And I'll be honest with you, Philip, with the workload we've got in front of us this year, I don't think that bill will even get a committee hearing.
Wow.
I mean, I could be wrong, you know, but we've debated this education bill for 4 weeks now, which is a little longer, I think, than most of us anticipated, and we still have some work to do on it. And then the calendar is full of other bills sitting there waiting to be dealt with. And we've also got to put a budget together, and we've got to deal with the Santee Cooper issue, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And kind of what's at stake here is the current animal cruelty law in South Carolina provides a clear exemption for the training and hunting activities, those that are authorized by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. And the exemption that's in this bill, I'm sorry, the exemption protects sportsmen from, you know, causing unnecessary pain or suffering upon any animal. That's the wording of the animal cruelty law. And sportsmen, I won't say sportsmen are exempt from that, but they're sort of given leeway in the fact that, you know, hunting dogs, and I'm thinking about, you know, rabbit dogs and deer dogs and even dogs that chase bear and wild pigs, you know, they're sometimes injured, you know, in their pursuit of that. And so that's kind of what's at stake here. And it's kind of like we were talking earlier. I'm just curious if that is supposed to be a direct affront against hunting dogs or if there's something else in the works.
Well, it could be. And, you know, you never know what sort of nefarious reasons people, you know, drop these sort of bills. You know, sometimes people will do this just to get at hunting in general. And, you know, you and I mean, we love the outdoors. We love to hunt and fish and hike and camp and spend time in the outdoors. And it's just always been a passion of mine. I grew up, you know, from an early age hunting. So sometimes you think that some of these things are designed sort of as a slingshot approach to sort of curtail hunting or to get at that sport in a way. So,
and like, you wonder that. I would wonder that too.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had the opportunity to hunt with bird dogs. Man, you talk about some wonderful talent and
very well cared for.
Oh yeah, they're babies. You know, but those dogs work hard. You know, for the birds, and I've been around people's rabbit dogs that are obviously members of the family and everything else, and you just kind of wonder where that's coming from.
Yeah, I wonder that as well. And getting back to the point of hunters taking care of their dogs and loving their dogs, there was a bear hunt up here in my neck of the woods. Actually, they chased the bear into my backyard. This has been 2 or 3 years ago, and the bear was up in a tree. And so to make a long story short, the bear came down out of the tree and got among about 8 or 10 dogs. And you know, so you had the bear and the pack of dogs, and they were all barking and running around. And one of the hunters hollered out to the owner of the dogs, and he said, you know, we better do something. That bear's going to hurt them dogs. And would you believe that guy waded over into that mess of dogs and bears and got within 10 feet and disposed of the bear just to protect his dogs?
Yeah. I can see that.
I can see that.
Yes.
I was running in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I would be too. And
when that bear came down from that tree, I was just a few feet away from him. And this old boy was backing up. But when that guy felt like his dogs might be hurt, he waded into the fray and took care of business.
Yeah.
And anytime you're a sportsman and you hear, you know, somebody that's kind of trying to pass legislation or introduce bills that are going to infringe on our hunting rights because, you know, they get eroded away little by little, you know, that's a cause for concern for sportsmen. So one thing I want to ask before we go to a break, we want to carry you over. If some of our listeners are concerned or interested or want to get more information or voice their opinion on this bill, what's the best way for them to get their voice heard?
Would be to contact your state senator or your House member. Currently, it's a Senate bill, so it like I said, it's in the Senate, although it's not moving. It's just sitting there, probably in the committee chairman's desk, if I had to guess. But contact your senator, whoever it is, and just tell them how you feel about it. Tell them that, you know, you're opposed to the bill, you think it's an affront to hunting and an impediment to the sport. And I don't know about the rest of them, but I sure listen to my constituents.
Awesome. That's what we'd like to hear.
Definitely.
Well, Senator Corbin, we're going to go a quick break, and then when we come back, we got some other outdoor news from down in Columbia that we want to talk about. So stick with us, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, quick break. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, welcome back, and we're carrying over State Senator Tom Corbin from, I can never remember the district. Tom, what's your district number that you represent here? I know it's Greenville County.
Yes, District 5, Northern Greenville, Northern Spartanburg County.
There you go. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about some stuff going on down in Columbia, and but also this past week, you were in attendance to the confirmation of our new director for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources.
That is correct. You know, Alvin Taylor was there for, what was it, around 10 years, 11 years? Something
yeah,
like
it, se- it seemed a little bit shorter than his predecessor, but he was there probably for a good 10 years.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, he just did a phenomenal job. And he and I developed a really good relationship, good working relationship, and even a friendship. And so I hated to see him go, but I completely understand, you know, why he wanted to. And he's just at that age where he wants to spend time with his family and his grandkids and whatnot. So anyway, the search was launched for a new director. And the board, it took them many, many months. I know they interviewed folks within the agency. They interviewed people outside of the agency. And they came to our committee this week with their recommendation, and it was Robert Bowles.
Right, and Bowles was named – he was named the interim director, so he kind of had the job on a I won't say on a part-time basis, but on kind of a pilot basis, I guess, while the board was searching for other candidates.
Right.
That's true. That's true. And did a good job. He, you know, Frampton was before Alvin.
That's right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And, you know, he was sort of from the biology side of DNR, that sort of that realm. And then Alvin Taylor, they sort of flipped. And Alvin was more on the law enforcement side.
Right.
And this time, Bowles is back to the sort of the biology side of the you know, of the equation. So they've sort of flipped back and forth, which I think is good because it gives the agency balance.
Sure.
And seems to work out pretty good. So he came to the committee this week and sort of testified in front of the committee. There's a lot of us that had questions. And he passed unanimously out of our committee. So he should be confirmed on the Senate floor this upcoming week if nothing happens, when it should be confirmed this upcoming week.
Yeah, and okay. The cool thing about Robert Bowles is he not only comes from the biology side, but he comes from the marine resources side. He was a deputy director for, gosh, about, I don't know, 15 or 16 years. And it seemed, you know, as an outdoor journalist, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, that are pressing that deal with marine resources, and I think he's the right man for the right job at the right time.
I do too. I would agree with that. He's very intelligent. He's eager. He's hardworking. I think he'll do a great job in that position. I really do. And you know, DNR is so much more. I don't know if people realize it, but it's so much more than just, you know, issuing hunting license and overseeing that. I mean, they work in collaboration with DHEC on water quality issues. They actually have the marine, biology and all that aspect, and boating. It's just it's a huge agency that does a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so so I think he'll make a great fit for that. Like I said, I think he's sort of come out of the gate strong, which is what we need. And like I said, I don't see any problems with him getting confirmed this upcoming week.
Well, his experience with the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council, you know, because there a lot of us fishermen who like to fish salt water, you know, we're real concerned. If you look at our neighboring states, you know, North Carolina's pretty much shut down flounder fishing,
because of the
stock assessment, while they're still allowing commercial fishing going on. And, you know, South Carolina's kind of caught in between. And like I said earlier, I think he's the right man for the right job, got a lot of experience in our marine resources. And I won't even get started, although I know the Senate chairman for your committee, Chip Campson, is very opposed, you know, to the offshore drilling. That's something that if that were to take a turn, you know, you definitely want to have your director with some marine resource experience so that they can give some good insight on that issue.
That's correct. And I think he would be very fitting for that. And as far as the flounder, the North Carolina flounder issue, we talked at length about that in the committee meeting. So, you know, everybody's aware of it and hopefully getting plans underway to deal with whatever might come, you know, towards South Carolina. I don't have Philip, I don't know how much time we got left, but I wanted to ask you, if I may, I wanted to spend just a minute or two on tall pines.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
This is great.
Yeah,
we were talking about this earlier.
We were, the Tall Pines Wildlife Management Area. It's probably one of the newest wildlife management areas, and it's right here in the upstate.
It is. And, you know, well, I've got a surprise for you, but I'm sure most of the listeners know, because I think I've been on the air with you before and talked about it, but I worked for 4 years on that project. Alvin Taylor and I, the former director, worked shoulder to shoulder for 4 years to make that come to fruition. And, you know, finally got all the ink dried on the paper last year, had the big grand opening. And, you know, it's 1,756 acres, which is a large tract of land.
Right.
And up here in Senate District 5, and you're for hunting, fishing. Every time I go by there, there's people out on that lake fishing. And a lot of my friends told me they've already gone up and done some hunting and that sort of thing, and scouting, and just a great piece of recreational property. But the secret I want to let you in on is I was approached by DNR this week, and they said that they are in negotiations and getting another adjacent tract that is very large.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they indicated it was around another 1,100 acres. So if that's it, you're looking at 2,800 acres there for DNR. So that is a huge nugget.
We had talked about the Tall Pines project on the air a little while back. And what an amazing asset to our community. I mean, just right up the road, you know, some more great property. Some more great public property, you know, that's right. For everybody.
And the way things are being developed in the upstate,
that is few and far between.
I mean, that's land that's going to be in the public domain for now on.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, with all the growth around here, which, you know, it's, you know, growth is good too, but, you know, we need that balance. So that was a huge gem. And the former director and I'm sorry to say it took us 4 years to get it, but there's just a lot of hurdles to jump through. You know, it passed through a lot of hands before we could finally get it settled where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just stepping on the clouds when they approached me this week and said, hey, you know, we're pretty sure we've got the adjacent property locked up, which is, they said, around another close to 1,100 acres. So that is huge. I knew you'd want to know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Break the news on your show.
Well, now, will that be incorporated into the Tall Pines, or will that be a separate WMA with different name and stuff?
As far as I understand, it was indicated to me it would be merged together.
Okay, so any rules and regulations that currently are in effect for Tall Pines, you could expect that to go into the neighboring property also?
That's what I would expect. That the way it was phrased to me was that they were acquiring it to be added to, I think was the term they used, to add it to the Tall Pines area.
Awesome. So, I like that because currently that property is legal for hunting. And and like I said last segment, anytime there's, you know, we got some public land, but we're going to designate this for, you know, this, and this, and exclude hunting. So
right.
That's good news too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I thought you would love to hear that, and hopefully your listeners will too. And I just wanted to say to you and Boat Girl that I really appreciate what y'all do for the sport and for the outdoor enthusiast. I listen to you as much as I can on Saturdays and always enjoy it, and have a fantastic show. You really, really do.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We appreciate it. And we appreciate having a voice in Columbia for sportsmen. That means a lot.
Well, anytime. I mean, that's where my heart is, my passion is. And if anybody needs me, I'll give my cell phone number out over the radio. It's 834-9915. I'm sort of old-fashioned. If you want to contact me, I prefer a phone call. So if I can help you with anything or answer any questions, just give me a call.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
Senator Tom Corbin, thanks for being on the show with us. And, man, we just y'all keep them straight down there, okay?
I will do my best. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Boat Girl. So good to talk to you.
All right. Take care.
Uh-huh.
He's a cool guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what...
That's cool about Tall Pines, too.
Yeah.
That's
and I had no idea.
Amazing piece of property.
Had no
there.
Idea. Have to get out there. Well, hey, let's go to our break now and end of the hour coming up.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.